This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. The president has claimed that he has the power to declare a national emergency and seize executive powers to deal with illegal immigration into the United States. But how true is that? Cato Vice President Gene Healy argues that presidents have long sought to enhance executive power, and Congress's record is mixed on reining those powers in. We spoke this week.
So earlier this month, President Trump threatened to declare a national emergency and build his border wall using the, quote, military version of eminent domain. And he's been sort of hot and cold on the idea since then, so it's hard to tell whether this is whether he's going to cross the Rubicon, or is this just another thing like the executive order ending birthright citizenship that he floated before the midterms? You know, is this just another pump fake designed to thrill the base and rile up the media? At this point, that's not clear.
So, what does the Constitution tell us about presidential authority with respect to an emergency, either real or imagined, and what has that meant historically?
Most of the emergency powers that the Constitution grants are in Article I, and they go to Congress. You know, Congress has the power to provide for calling forth the militia, the power to suspend habeas corpus is in Article I. President gets almost nothing in the way of unilateral emergency powers. He commands the militia when it's called into service, but Congress makes the rules for that. He also has the power under Article 2, Section 3 to convene Congress on, quote, extraordinary occasions, which, you know, might be a national emergency. And that seems to imply that his powers don't just expand on their own when there's an extraordinary occasion. The Supreme Court in the famous 1952 Steele seizure case said that you know, he has to trace his there is no general grant of presidential emergency power. Any power that he claims has to be traced to an act of Congress or the Constitution. Justice Jackson, who wrote the most influential concurrence in that opinion, said that, you know, one reason the framers didn't go further in terms of granting a general emergency power is they probably feared that emergency powers would tend to kindle emergencies. You'd get more of them if the president could bolster and bootstrap his own powers anytime he declared a national emergency.
So how does this claim of a national emergency jibe with previous instances in which presidents have both claimed there was a national emergency and then assumed powers to deal with it?
Well, there's a long and dirty history of presidents trying to enhance their own powers by declaring national emergencies real and imagined. And that's one of the reasons we got a law that's in play here, the National Emergencies Act of 1976. During the Watergate era, a special Senate committee looked at the president's emergency powers, and they found 470 statutory provisions that gave the president broad powers that Congress had passed. And they found that there were four ongoing proclamations of national emergency at the time that dated back to 1933. So they passed this law, the National Emergencies Act. It was in part designed to restrain the president's ability to do that promiscuously. But that law hasn't really had much effect. It has not effectively restrained the president. It did end the four ongoing national emergency proclamations at the time. But then mostly what it did, it's a sort of a process statute. The president has to, when he wants to invoke emergency powers, he has to make a formal declaration of national emergency, and he has to identify what specific statutory powers he relies on. And it also said that the emergency terminates within a year unless he decides to redeclare it, which is pretty easy to do. And You know, we're currently in something just over 30 ongoing national emergencies. We've been in one for practically my entire life that Jimmy Carter declared in the Iranian hostage crisis. So the National Emergencies Act, it was a noble effort, but it didn't restrain Congress's irresponsible tendency to delegate broad powers to the executive, and that's why we are where we are today.
Yeah, I wonder, to what extent is it constitutional for Congress to delegate some emergency powers to the president? I mean, is there a constitutional limit on the degree to which they can do that?
Sure, theoretically. I mean, Congress can't delegate powers that it doesn't have. However, it can delegate broad powers to the president if it can trace those powers to a specific grant of power in Article I. It can delegate, and it has through the Insurrection Act and the various amendments to it, set the conditions for calling out the National Guard to put down domestic unrest. So there are, and you know, the Constitution contemplates that habeas corpus can be suspended in certain circumstances. So it's not that the Constitution doesn't provide for extra powers in the event of a genuine national emergency, but the constitutional scheme places Congress in the driver's seat for such circumstances.
So you said that National Emergencies Act, when it passed, closed off four national emergencies, but more than two dozen have been declared since then.
Yeah, it's sort of squeezing a balloon. I mean, some of these are unobjectionable. You know, some of them are, you know, say banning aid to either side in an ongoing civil war. We're not talking about, in every case, broad sweeping national emergencies that give the president general domestic authority. But I think that is a sign that the problem that Congress identified in the post-Watergate era has not been solved. In fact, the Brennan Center, just very timely, before President Trump started threatening to declare a national emergency, in December came out with a report that identifies 136 statutory authorities that the president now, after the National Emergencies Act, can still invoke in a declared national emergency. A lot of them have never been invoked. Most of them just require the president's signature on the declaration in order to trigger emergency powers, and some of them are quite broad.
So what now? I mean, the president has sort of toyed with this idea of declaring a national emergency. What ought to be Congress's reaction to that?
Well, I think one of the big problems here is you'd like to be able to say that, you know, this is a banana republic tactic, and our Constitution and our laws have no room for it. That the president doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. You'd like to be able to say that, but you can't. There are actually at least a couple of statutory provisions that Trump can point to that might allow him to redirect military construction authority to building a border wall. And so when he claims that, quote, I have an absolute right to do it, you know, he's exaggerating, but he has a non-frivolous claim because Congress has been so feckless in ceding broad emergency powers to the president. What can they do now? Putting aside the border wall case, they got us into this mess. So presumably, with the right will and consensus, they could get us out of it. A first step would be to re-engineer the Senate Select Committee or in this case, it would probably be the House from the Watergate era, make a comprehensive review of the emergency authorities that Congress has passed since 1976, identify which of those are overbroad, identify which of the 30-some ongoing national emergency declarations are no longer needed, and set down new rules to restrain the president's power to abuse this authority. You know, Trump in many ways has been, there's the old phrase about the prospect of hanging tends to concentrate the mind wonderfully. And Donald Trump has tended to concentrate a lot of people's minds, unfortunate broad delegations of power that Congress has engaged in over the years. And, you know, what you'd like to see come out of this is some tightening of those authorities, because you never know how they're going to be used.
Gene Healy is a vice president at the Cato Institute and author of The Cult of the Presidency. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.